Well, if I could tell you what is good and what God requires of us, would you be interested? The Christian life is not complicated. It is simplicity itself. Life gets complicated when we violate God's word, and it gets complicated in a hurry. So Micah chapter 6 this evening, and one verse of scripture, verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." First of all, what God requires of us. Several times in the Bible says, this is what God requires of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the fact that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What God requires of each of us is to be found faithful, not to be found successful. That's God's business. But for us to be found faithful. And here, there's three things that God says is required of us. First of all, to do justly. To do is an infinitive, if you remember back in your English class. It works as a verb. It shows action. To do justly. Let me clarify that for you. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. It's a story you know very well. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we'll begin reading in verse 1 through verse 6. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall, that is, Hezekiah, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. It came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer." Aren't you thankful that God hears our prayers when we pray? He said, "I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." How wonderful is that? To do justly. Now I want you to go with me to James chapter 1. We'll get a New Testament clarification of this. James chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 22. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." If you're only a hearer of the word. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word justly in Micah is referring to divine law. And the Bible says, he has shown us. He has made it known unto us. He has made it plain unto us. And then the discovery of that on our part requires responsibility. When he has shown us what is just, and we understand that because he's made it plain, then it requires responsibility on our part. Go with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And look at verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. When this stuff is revealed to us, then we become a steward of that. And it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When the Bible says this, you are to love your neighbor as yourself, it's easy to understand. And we become a steward of that. When the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, we become a steward of that. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for that, we become a steward of that. When the Bible says, we are to esteem others, everybody else, better than ourselves, we are doing justly, okay? And then the Bible says this, we are to love mercy. Once again, the infinitive to love shows action. We are to love mercy. Mercy reveals an attitude, and that attitude is we are to be kindly disposed to each other. We are to love one another. So easy to lose our compassion and to become critical and unforgiving. One of the verses that will help you with that is found in Acts chapter 28. Go with me there, please. The last chapter in the book of Acts. And this is just such a wonderful verse. Acts chapter 28. And verse 2. The Bible says that they shipwrecked on this island, and the Bible says, and the barbarous people that was on that island showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. The barbarous people, the people who were not saved, these are just heathen people. But kindness is always in order. Mercy ought to be an absolute priority in our life. And then priorities establish evangelism in our life. There's two themes that dominate Scripture, the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of evangelism. To Adam in the Garden of Eden, God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, that's prophecy. If you do this, he's given him prophecy. And then the Bible says he clothed them with the skins of animals. That's evangelism. When he said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come up before me. That's prophecy. And then in evangelism, he said this, build an ark. Save your family. Build the ark. In Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says, he that is unjust will remain unjust. That's prophecy. And then the evangelism part of that, surely I come quickly. And then third, the Bible says we are to walk humbly. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And when you think about this, walking humbly with your Lord, speed's not that important. Direction is very important. We are to walk in humility of spirit. Several years ago, there was a mountaineer in Europe, and he was watching two goats on the hillside. And generally, those goats, when they met each other on a narrow ledge, they would simply bump heads until one of them was cast over the side and the other one would progress. But at this time, these two goats, instead of doing that, one of them got down on all fours and let the other goat walk over him, and then they both went about on their way. Let me ask you something. Who modeled humility for us? It was our Lord that modeled humility. I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and those of you that are familiar with the Bible, this, of course, is the great kenosis passage in the Bible. The word kenosis means emptying. This is the greatest passage on how Christ emptied himself so that he could walk among us and model humility for us. Let's begin reading in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, everyone else. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men when he was God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are to walk humbly with our God. Let me conclude with this. We need three things if we will serve the Lord long term. There's three things that you need. First of all, you need a but if not clause. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. Book of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and look at verse 18. Well, we're going to have to go back up to 17 to get that verse so that you kind of understand what's going on in verse 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talking to Nebuchadnezzar. And they just said, listen, our God is able to do something that you don't have any idea about, Nebuchadnezzar. And then in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. God's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to do what you want us to do. We're not going to worship a golden idol. We need a but if not clause. A but if not clause simply means this: I will not compromise. And if you're going to serve the Lord long term, you're going to have to get to that place where you have a but if not clause. I'm not going to compromise. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care if the rest of the world, I am not going to compromise, okay? Second of all, we need a I don't have to survive clause. Survival's not the issue in your life. It's not the issue in my life. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and look at verse 24. The Apostle Paul made this statement. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Me surviving is not the issue. My issue is that I remain faithful to God and I finish my course and I preach the gospel. Okay? And then last of all, I will work even if mistreated by other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at verse 15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I will work even if mistreated. I will continue to serve the Lord even if I'm mistreated. Satan has no angle to use against us to get us to quit if we have these three clauses in our life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the leadership of great men and women in the Bible. When we read their life, it helps us. It encourages us. It puts our feet on the solid rock, and we want to serve you faithfully all the years of our life. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. Thank you for your wonderful word and the instruction that it gives to us. thank you for this time together. Dear Father, we have come to understand we need each other. And we need to be in your house and hear your word. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.